Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Friends of the program. AD saying if there's a tournament in Dubai, we're going.
Well, AD, has been a tournament in Dubai every year for the last 20, and we hadn't gone yet.
Another friend, TC, said we could go to Jeddah, which is Saudi Arabia. We got an invite. A lot going on in
all
the
right,
world, Brian.
Let's go.
Just so much hypocrisy. Just everybody admit you want the cash and stop dancing around it. You heard that music there. We're going to talk some football. Now our guy Pete Haley joins us, NBC Sports Washington. Hello, Peter. How do you do?
Good afternoon. Thank you to the show for being a little flexible so I could join you at 11 instead of the usual noontime because there's practice going on right now.
That's all Landfill. Thank Landfill specifically.
Yeah, he set that up.
Did you know Landfill has been texting me via AI the past couple times?
He likes that. He does that with us also.
I basically told Landfill, just take you off the show.
He's really
and
weird.
He insisted.
Maybe it's the robot keeping Pete on the show.
Yeah,
the
I think
robot's
my that's, what I, that's what I think it is.
Embracing AI.
What'd you think of Ron's comments this morning kicking off minicamp?
Pretty standard. He does a good job of diffusing the Chase Young and Montez Sweat absences. I don't know if that's how he feels privately because there have been comments in the past to the team site and Jack Del Rio's made comments in the past where they've been a little more harsh. But I think Ron did a good job of not turning up the noise. I think maybe some people will be perturbed that he didn't name Sam Howell starter. That's one thing I don't care about. I think they've been showing with their actions that Sam Howell is the starter. Jacoby Brissett hasn't really sniffed first team reps, and if he gets a couple today or this week or in training camp, I won't panic. They are going with Sam Howell. Sam Howell has been looking pretty good in his good moments. He's impressed me. So if anyone is upset about that, I would say chill.
But I think today you're talking about mandatory minicamp, and they're moving forward. Why look in the rearview mirror to worry about who wasn't here before? Because they're here now.
Yeah, I think it's just good to, and Chase, I think, is talking after practice, and we're going to be doing a whole lot of looking back with him. It's just a thing we have to button up and get the final say on, and I think come Wednesday and Thursday, yes, we'll be focusing more on the present and how this team is looking for training camp, but when you only see this team once a week as opposed to the 4 or 5 days we see during the regular season, you got to check in, and there's a lot of storylines to cram into one presser, so it's more just a logistical thing that, like, we want to hear Ron's reaction to Chase arriving. We want to hear from Chase on why he didn't arrive, and then once we get all those quotes out there, then we can all officially close that chapter that I know you want to close.
Well, I think OTAs or not, Ron going back to the maturity comments, I think, stood out to me, and my question was fairly simple to him. And Landfill, maybe we can track down that audio, but I said, you know, Ron's been doing this a long time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is there something you look for at the end of the off-season program to know your team is kind of in the right spot? And he said, you know, I've talked about maturity in the past, and it's not so much maturity at this point. It's guys knowing where to be and wanting to be there. We all assume that's about Chase, but maybe it's about something else entirely. Maybe
I think
it's about
he said
something.
I made a big deal about maturity in the past. And I think I didn't assume that that went to Chase, because I think he was throwing a lot of little things in here that I think he was touching a lot of people. Ron wants his team to take control to where it's not people always having to tell you what you need to do. Just do it. And I think they have to get the leaders on this team that are vocal. there are a bunch of leaders on his team that are not very vocal. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people that are not vocal that are leaders don't really talk to a lot of people.
If you look at their two best players, mm-hmm. I'd say it's McLaurin and John Allen.
Yeah.
Both of them talk, but neither of them are like the rah-rah sideline. Like maybe you grow into that role.
But you don't need to be the rah-rah sideline guy. I'm talking about if I understand something is going on and I got a problem with it, I'm not going to just – like there are some people that would just take care of their business. I would like, hey, Pete, look, I need to talk to you later on. And look, man, this is what we're trying to do and blah, 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 blah. I would call you and brush stuff into it. I don't know if that's necessarily going, but I think that's the assumption a lot of people have. Leadership goes in different ways. There are leaders who always do theirs the right way, Art Monk.
Yep.
But then there are also leadership who does theirs the right way and will get in your ass if you don't mess up, Brian Mitchell. And I think that's the ultimate thing where you don't always have to be that guy, but every once in a while, you got to get out of your comfort zone. A lot of people are in their comfort zone that I notice on this team that are leaders. They're in their comfort zone, and when you talk to people around, a lot of times they're not spoken to by those guys.
I would say maybe that's why Eric Bieniemy is here. One of the things Eric Bieniemy can make the biggest difference is he is definitely the get-in-your-ass person. And when that's coming from a coach as opposed to a teammate, it can be taken different ways. Sometimes it's best to hear from a teammate who's doing the same things as you are. But sometimes you need a coach to strike a little fear in you. Not that Terry McLaurin is scared of Eric Bieniemy, but like these players need to know that when they make a mistake, however minute it is, whether it's in May or December, like it's going to be brought up, it's going to be discussed, and you might get embarrassed by it when they go through film or they scream at you on the practice field. And that is a way to hone people's focus and get them to pay attention to every part of their job. And I think that's what's been missing. So maybe the locker room doesn't have enough of those guys, and it would be better served if there are some more upfront leaders. But I think Bieniemy can assume that role as the coach because Ron doesn't really do that a ton. Del Rio doesn't do that a ton. Less when we're there and we're only here for 4% of their work day or whatever. But Bieniemy is definitely willing to be vocal.
Well, if you think about like that, two of the most vocal voices we've heard out here for some time were Pete Hayner and then John Matsko. And both those guys are gone. Hayner was his own volition. Matsko, I think they kind of agreed to walk away. It's bizarre that they can't make all their coaching announcements with whatever Castillo's new title is going to be, run game coordinator, whatever it is. I still don't understand why you need ownership situation to finalize for that. Like, you have contracts with these guys. You're already paying them. It's just changing titles, but that's an aside. So much of this is about Chase. Do you think it is, we'll go three little bears. Is it too much, too little, or just right? How much focus there is on Chase Young being here when you had Sweat miss time, you had Leno miss time, and this is a mediocre team trying to get over the hump. Like, does it really matter? Should it matter?
Too much.
For me, it's too much.
I think it's too much because we focus on this one person when there are way more things that need to happen for them to become a better team. I think it's too much because one guy doesn't solve it, especially that guy. Because that quarterback situation is way bigger than Chase Young being here and not being here. And I think that's one thing we're going at. The offensive line, I think, is way bigger than Chase Young not being here. Because they have proven.
As far as what will matter this fall?
Yeah, they can stay afloat. They've proven that already without Chase out there. He can make them better if he comes back and be the guy we saw he was in his first year. The offensive line, we know, you got a young quarterback who needs to have a little time and some time to grow. If he's running for his life, he's not growing. So I think that's a bigger situation than that one person.
Yeah, I figured you would say too much, Brian, and JP, I thought you would too. I am at just right, and I said this a couple weeks ago on this very fine radio program, that Chase gets judged differently because of where he was taken, because of what he's supposed to be. And maybe that's not fair because, A, you shouldn't judge players on a different scale, or B, because Chase maybe isn't destined to become that. Maybe he's destined to just be like a Montez Sweat, like a good player, but not a franchise changer. But I still think at this point, second overall pick, a guy who likes all the attention, he likes being up front, he likes being kind of the center of it all. Well, if you want to take that approach, you deserve to be scrutinized heavily. And it's what happens to all superstars. And again, he's not a superstar right now, so maybe we should just start ignoring him. But
where you get picked happens the day you get picked. Because once you get beyond that 3-4 years down the road, where you got picked is thrown away. What if you were a fifth-round pick and you become the starter. You should be expected to perform at the level of a starter, not just because you were a fifth-round pick. The first year,
I mean, look at McLaurin.
The first year, I understand. Yeah, Terry's a third-round pick. I judge Terry way more serious than I judge the other players around him because he's proven to be that over and over again. So after the first year is gone, to hell with that.
Yeah, I think it can always raise like a fifth. Cam Curl's a seventh rounder. I'm now paying attention to whether Cam Curl's doing team drills and he needs a new contract. So it can always move up, but it's hard to, when you start as a second overall pick, it's hard to forget that. It's hard for you to judge Chase Young as like a third rounder now. You just,
it's not judging him as a third rounder. I'm now judging him as a player consistently. And if he has already now gotten to the point where his play is not the level it's supposed to be, I'm not going to sit up here and keep judging him based off a second year. I'm going to judge him based off of what is he doing at the moment. Because right now, his positioning has nothing to do with his performance now. He now has to take a major step.
I think that's fair. At this point, second overall pick, second round, fifth round, Under Armour commercials, no longer has the commercials. It's Ron saying proof is in the pudding, which is kind of like a weird old Jell-O phrase. But, like, that's where we're – I think it's entirely possible, and I've said this, as soon as they didn't pick up that option, it's entirely possible he's not even on the roster week one. Like, I would only say it's like a 5% chance. But, like, when you go down this path – very rarely leads to things working out. Now, it kind of has for them.
It worked out for them last year.
It worked out with Payne.
It worked
out with Payne. So maybe that's their track.
But see, this is the thing. So I would ask both of you. You all are here every day. I know you thought Payne was going to be out of here, was not coming back.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm sure you did too.
Yeah.
So now that it worked for Payne, the whole concept and the way that the media thinks now that, oh, they made Payne work, it just worked out for Payne. Normally, that crap does not work. When you don't take the option and the person goes out and perform well, they normally force your hand to make you let them go. Now, Payne wanted to come back. If Chase goes out right now and has a great year, what if Montez has one too? What the hell happens? And what if both, they're the same agent, don't they?
Yeah.
What if both of them say, we're not signing that crap. You can't keep them on your roster forever. You're going to have to eventually let them go and start getting some other people. They can force your hand. The way it worked for Payne was just perfect. How everything should go if you want it to go that way. But for the most part, it never happens like that.
And I also think Deron is a different dude that maybe didn't want to have to deal with free agency and taking tours and all that kind of stuff and was happy to just get the deal done. Maybe didn't want to be tagged and all the stuff that brings. I don't know that we'll – I mean, it's overly trite, but we're not going to know until we see him on the field. I found it interesting and – I don't know that this is a theory or what, B, but this knee injury to still be discussed, that Ron's like, we think he's fully healthy. The doctors say he's fully healthy, but we'll have to see. Mm-hmm. I wonder on some level if Chase knows what he was prior to that injury and whether he has a distorted view of what he was in the second season, even before he got hurt. Mm-hmm. But the first season, the second half of that year, when he was healthy, when he got through the hip thing, he was disruptive. He was super disruptive. Mm-hmm. I wonder if somewhere in the way back of his mind, he's worried he'll never get back there. And that's why the knee is something he leans on.
That's a great possibility. And I think ultimately because, and I've said it before, it comes down to confidence in that knee. Because when people go through it, I think we as people looking at him and things like that, we just say, oh, he got to come back because we saw somebody else come back. But if you talk to anybody that went through a major injury, you're going to ask them what was the biggest hurdle to get over? Mental. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the physical. The guys have worked out all their lives. They'll get through that. But just to go out and just do without thinking about it, it takes a lot of people a lot of damn time.
This will be, and it's an obvious statement, but a turning point in Chase Young's career because not only do you have to prove to yourself that you're healthy, you have to prove to the NFL that you can handle being slapped in the face and having your option declined. I would imagine that Chase Young, his football career up until a couple seasons ago, was pretty damn dreamlike, movie-like. He was always the best player, was always told how good he was, succeeded in high school, succeeded at Ohio State, was drafted number two. Like, nothing went wrong. This past couple years, personal contract and, like, reputation, it's all gone down for him, and we'll see. Does he respond to all of that and give middle fingers to dummies like me who are doubting him? Or does he just fold and go away?
If he comes to Brian Mitchell school, he'll give y'all middle fingers.
Right. He'll borrow more middle fingers to give.
Because I think ultimately.
But this is a gut check for him. Yeah, this is a
situation where he has to realize that what has happened, good or bad, has happened, is what's going to happen. What happens next? You got to – people that have had success and have not had success got to stop living in the past.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
And I hope he's got that good advice.
So today it'll be the story. I can't imagine they're making him available today, right?
Sean was going through the names when I was down there. I couldn't hear. But the expectation is that he will talk at some point.
Sure, but it's 3 days. And if I had to guess, and
they'll wait for.
I'm no PR professional.
I'll talk on the last day, and I'm rolling out of here.
You're going to have the most people here today.
Yep.
And then tomorrow there'll be – I mean, that press room was packed. Tomorrow there'll be a little less people. Thursday there'll be less people. That's when I would have him talk.
Yeah.
If I was in charge of this thing.
Or he may talk Tuesday, and then all of a sudden they decide not to practice Tuesday.
Right.
Actually, he's going to
talk
Tuesday.
We'll get one-on-ones for everybody on Tuesday.
What's remarkable about this, and we talk about interesting versus important, for this team to succeed this fall, how important is it that Chase Young returns to his rookie form? For this team to succeed this fall, how important is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's Howell, it's Bieniemy's impact, it's overall health of the team. Those are all more important. But I'd say Chase
overall, the defense performed well last year without him.
Yeah, they performed well. It's great.
But if he was involved,
but yeah, there's always
playing, he's capable of playing.
There's always the question of what more could they do.
Sure.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is, how important is it for this team to have a good season that Chase Young has a good season?
Well,
because I think it's fairly far down the list.
I think
you need dominant interior play. I think you need your secondary to be better. I think you need
your O-line to be better.
Your O-line. I mean, I just think there's so much. I mean, seriously, where is Chase on the list? And that's an unfortunate aside of him largely being gone for 2 years. They had to figure this stuff out.
Well, the defense did play quite well without him, but still, that defense was on a team that didn't make the playoffs and was eliminated by the finale. So, like, the defense was really good, but it wasn't close enough to playoff quality. So if you add Chase Young to that, that can raise the entire profile of the defense. That can help all those guys. It can be a multiplier.
You don't think the defense last year was playoff quality?
The offense was god awful. It didn't produce a playoff quality team. So, like, sure, the defense was good, but, like, there needs to be more good
for
this team to raise up.
You look at last year and say that the defense wasn't good enough?
The team wasn't good enough with that good defense. So, like,
the offense was terrible.
I know, but I'm saying for that, maybe the defense has to be even
better.
Like,
unless Chase Young's going to play running back.
I don't think he is. I haven't seen him do that.
I'm
saying you need more from the defense because this defense was one of the best in the NFL, and the team didn't really have a chance in the postseason.
I don't know how you can look at last year and say you need more from the defense when the offense
was terrible. You need more turnovers from the defense.
Turnovers, and if you want to specifically look at that Browns game, the defense got gashed in the second half.
Niners game, too. I mean, they have to add more. They can't plummet at all. Yes, the offense has to be way better. That unit has far more pressure, but we also feel a lot better about the defense. If the defense slips at all, then the bottom of this thing could fall out because the offense is all perspective. We hope, we think, we project. The defense is, we're banking on it. If that defense doesn't do what we need it to do as
they're
going to
have to play like they did last year or better for them, for the team.
And that's where I think Chase can be one of the few things that makes it better and expands its abilities. But, yeah, you're right. O-line, Howell, Bieniemy, overall health, the schedule. Like, there's a lot of factors. But Chase, to me, is still five or six.
Let's just say the players, like, name the players. Because to me, I got Allen, Payne, Howell, McLaurin. If you want to say the line as a collective group, or if you want to be specific.
Yeah, that's 10, basically.
I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The pixels dedicated to a conversation, the discourse dedicated to Chase versus the actual hierarchy of which he lands, I think are dramatically distorted.
Definitely the balance isn't right.
Now, that's tricky in a 53-man roster, right? Like,
it's
hard to single one person out.
But Chase Young being elite or close to it immediately vaults him into that five. If he could be a John Allen. He could be Deron Payne. He could be better. He was drafted and expected to be better, and that's why this is frustrating because we don't really know whether to expect him to be better anymore. Can he get there, or is he now just destined to be the 20th? Most important player on a team. Right now, I'm still holding out hope that he is a cornerstone difference maker, even though there are a lot of reasons to expect otherwise. So I'm reserving space for him in that table of the most important Commanders. But if it doesn't come through this year, then his chair is gone, and I will forget about Chase Young ever making, like, Pro Bowls and being elite again.
Were you glad Ron didn't do the competition bit when asked about is Chase starting spot back?
Yeah. Ron can be a little bit of a hard-o, old-school, earn-your-spot guy. He's been that way with past players. But, like, we don't need to pretend that Chase Young and Casey Tuhill are of the same ilk necessarily. Tuhill and James Smith Williams, those guys contribute and are good in their roles. But Chase Young, just the investment and the potential, deserves to be the starter, and let's not even fake with it.
Peter, thank you for the time, buddy.
Hey, I wish you guys a lot of success in the future, more success than you've had in the past, which is a lot of success.
We take it.
Good.
Weird way to sign off, but thanks, buddy.
No problem.
That's our guy, Pete Haley, out here wishing us all success. Thanks, buddy. That's like a eulogy. When we come back, I got some very, very specific and interesting numbers about win totals for the Commanders. Do you think they'll have better odds to win 10 games or 5 games, B?
Better odds to win 5.
I'll tell you when we come back. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
B. Mitch and Finley live in Ashburn. Commanders minicamp. Everybody's here. The gang's back together. Got Chase and Tez, Charles Leno. Everybody's out here. We all seem focused on one person, but everybody's out here.
That's lazy media, Jay. When you focus on just one person and you forget about the things that are more important than that one person, I call that lazy media.
So I got this email yesterday from Bet Online, and before anyone texts me that I shouldn't talk about offshore casinos, they send me the emails. Tell the onshore casinos to send me the emails, and I'll use their information. BetOnline.ag sent me odds on the exact wins for the Commanders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I find this pretty damn interesting, B, because we've seen the win totals set at 6.5 or 7, depending where you're shopping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 6.5 or 7 means it's either going to be 6 or 7, right?
Yeah.
That's what Vegas is expecting.
Yeah.
But what about these numbers that show us the exact win total? Because you know what? No matter what happens this fall, I can guarantee you one thing, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you one thing.
What's that?
They will not win 6.5 games.
No, they won't.
They will either win 6 or 7 or 11 or 2.
They could win 6 and be leading after halftime. Oh, one other game. No, I'm joking.
The final record will not have a .5.
Now, if you find that happened, then hell, that's going to change the whole betting market right there.
So, the top odds for the specific amount of wins for the Commanders this fall, 6 wins is plus 500, 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
7 wins, plus 550,
mm-hmm.
11-2. So, clearly, Vegas thinks that's where they're going to land.
Somewhere around there.
What do you think the next highest odds are? Win total. The specific win total. So 6 and 7 are the top two.
They would probably drop it or somewhere around the 5-ish, 5-5.
5 is next at plus 600. Then 8 at plus 650. So they are more confident that the Commanders will win 5 games than they will win 8 games.
And I think that's understandable. Based off of last year and looking at
– last year they won 8.
They won 8 last year, but now you have a young –
and they won 7
you have a young quarterback.
They had bad quarterbacks last year.
But still, I think they were veteran. Okay, you have a young quarterback that doesn't have the veteran savvy. We look at the offensive line still. They still are – I'm sure this is how Vegas looks at it and other people where we have a play caller coming in with some innovativeness, but does he have the exact talent to be able to produce like the other squad? did. And I think that's the ultimate thing. Now, I believe, and I think it was Logan who said it, the skill positions might be better than Kansas City when you look at just the receivers I'm playing.
Yeah.
Because you can't compare the tight ends to Travis. And I think when you look at the ability at the running back position, if they get out of these three running backs, let's just say I'm going to go with Chris Rodriguez. I go with A.G. and also Brian. Those three guys right there, you look at their talent, I think they can match up with the people that they had with Kansas City last year.
I mean, we went through the numbers.
I just think that Pat and Kelsey are heads above whatever we have at those positions.
If you go through – so I talked with one of the assistant coaches of this team last week, and I asked, I was like, well, how do you feel about the talent you guys got? He's like, man, we got talent, but this is the NFL. Everybody's got talent.
Everybody got it.
It's about consistency, and it's about injuries. And I think that is so true by and large.
Yeah.
But when you have – I don't want to get into is he the greatest, what will the numbers look like, any of that. But you have a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, Pat.
That's a significant delta that you can't just make up. Yeah. And then Kelsey, too.
Yeah.
Is certainly – the numbers would support a Hall of Fame.
Think about this. When you have a guy like a Travis Kelsey, it makes everyone want to stop him, okay?
Right.
You are one-on-one, and sometimes you're not even thought about when you're on a team with him, which gives you a better chance to look good. Because like Terry Rubisky always said, when the game plan is to stop a particular person, then you know you're a badass. Because everybody else should get theirs. Like, I mentioned this to you before. We had a particular person on this team who do a lot of stuff. I say, but nobody game plans to stop him. And he gets his, but they don't game plan to stop him. And that's the difference between the upper echelon talent and the talent that we see that's good in this league.
When they game plan to stop you and then they still can't, that's when you know you're
that's
a real badass.
That's
right.
A problem right there. And that's what Travis and Pat are. But Pat gets stopped some games where it looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. But it's not going to be many of them. I guarantee you in his whole career right now, it's been maybe three or four games that they got him. But look how many he got you.
So, B, I find this a little bit alarming. So the odds based on the Bet Online numbers, 6 wins is the most likely. Mm-hmm. Then 7 wins. Then 5. So they got 5 ahead of 8, which is a little alarming. Obviously, if we're counting out in reverse, 6, 7, 5, 8 are the most likely win totals mm-hmm. for the Commanders. What do you think's next? 4 or 9?
I would think if they got 5 at that point, I'd go with 4.
That's troubling.
I just think when you look at it, though.
9 is what you need to get in.
Yeah, 9 you need to get in. But I think they're looking at the fact that 8-8-1 last year, to take one step farther in a situation where at the most important position, you might not have the bandwidth. Not to say that he won't get it, but they're looking at the bandwidth of that person and also the experience with what's in front of him. I think those things say, I can see you going through a slump more than going through a run of wins. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where sometimes you look at this thing where you get on those 4 or 5 game win streaks, you can throw yourself from being a 5-win team to a 9-win team in a matter of just a few weeks. But you start having to look at the experience and things of that nature. And I think, you know, it's way smarter to believe the team is going to win less than win more. You hear what I'm saying? And these guys got all types of algorithms and all the different things.
Right, but this isn't about picking an over-under or anything. This is about picking the number.
No, that's what I'm saying, picking a number, because I believe if I had to pick a number, when we gave out our projections for this year, I don't think either one of us said 9 wins.
No.
Okay. So do you think it's easier to pick the 5 or 9? So if I thought they were going to win 8 and then they say You think they'll win 9 or 5? If I think you go, if I think the best I think it could be is 8 games, it's easier to believe that you'll win less. But it's hard as hell to think that you're going to go over what I think your best case scenario is.
Yeah. I'd like to go to the chief BS officer quickly on this one, Jim Andrew Mullins, the 6th. Professor Landini, is this kind of alarming that the bookmakers believe it's more likely they win 5 games than 8 or 6 than 7?
Yeah, that's alarming. That's certainly not something you should feel good about.
Now, is my man Jeff Walker available?
Yes, I am.
Jeff, do you know that you could get 50-1 odds the Commanders winning 13 games, buddy?
I'm going to take it.
Like, nah. What's 20 bucks at 50-1? That's a pretty good haul, Jeff.
What's $20 to a man like me? Can you please remind me?
That's a good point. There's tremendous news. Everybody's caught up in LIV PGA and the Commanders minicamp and Chase Young's whereabouts. There is tremendous news coming from the good people at Apple. That's right. Apple. I'll tell you what the hell it is when we come back. A lot of news in the world today. B. Mitch and Finley live out in Ashburn. Commanders minicamp. Whole team's here getting good work in. Baby girl. Obviously, the biggest story.
I believe LIV is the biggest.
Probably
story
in the
today.
World. Yeah, that's I the mean, frankly, story, yeah. Is PGA Tour and LIV Golf merging? Just saw this from Dan Rappaport, who covers golf for Barstool. Used to be with Golf Week or something. Said he talked to some players, quote, shocked and confused, disgusted. They didn't tell us anything. Colin Morikawa himself tweeted out this morning, I love finding out morning news on Twitter, and everyone thought yesterday was the longest day in golf. Now, that's referring to the U.S. Open qualifiers yesterday, when guys have to play 36. If you're one of these young players, if you're McIlroy or Morikawa or Hovland, Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, imagine the money that was thrown at them. And if these guys just get to come back now and they got all that cash and now they're back on the tour, I'd be furious.
Yeah, but you can now go get it. I mean, why? Because the people you just named, all the guys that are getting that bag. Okay? Jordan Spieth signed a $100 million deal. Okay? Some years back.
Yeah.
Rory signed a $200-something million deal. So they are the ones that are already making it because they're at the top of the game. Now that things are going to change and improve, who's to say you can't win more of it?
Well, B, you want to talk about changing and improving?
Mm-hmm.
I got some news for you.
And who's that with?
Apple. Ever heard of them? Is that a no?
Go ahead.
Address the ducking problem.
Oh, cool.
Nobody ever
says,
has said ducking.
Duck you.
Yeah.
A bucket.
Yeah.
Nobody's
ducking anything out here. Nobody's talking about ducking traffic. Nobody's talking about ducking prices at the grocery store. Nobody says, duck this. And the good people from Silicon Valley are finally fixing this thing. From CNN, CNN.com, your iPhone's autocorrect is getting a big ducking upgrade. Currently, when you enter a typo or key in an unrecognized word, Apple's iOS system uses some onboard machine learning and references a library of frequent misspellings to automatically correct your mistake. But as anyone who has ever been seriously annoyed has learned, sometimes your correctly spelled salty language will get changed to something else entirely. In the new iOS 17, a new kind of AI-powered autocorrect could solve that problem. Apple's new iOS keyboard will learn your habits over time, fixing words that you frequently misspell, and more importantly, leaving words alone that you intentionally thumbed in. It will also use AI to better predict your next word and provide improved autofill suggestions. Landfill, this is big ducking news. I'm ducking excited. How do you feel about the ducking movement.
Yeah, I couldn't care less about that. What they need to do is they need to fix the speech to text, which is terrible, and it always gets things wrong. So some of the texts that I send to you guys don't make any sense.
You got to be very careful,
clear.
If you're trying to say the number that's after 5 and before 7, you got to be very clear if you're doing speak to text.
Yeah,
because a lot of times you end up with something else.
Yeah,
something ducking.
Else. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I have a dear friend of mine. My boy Casey is really worried about AI, like taking over the planet or whatever. I'm not that worried about it, man. I don't know. Maybe I should be. Are you worried about AI, B?
Yeah, because I just think that if the AI technology was so great, they wouldn't be putting ducking.
Right.
To be honest with you, because everybody knows what you're trying to say. If somebody puts a four-letter word in front of you, you know it's not duck. Okay? It's not most of them. And I think when that goes to that every time, I'm starting to think, like, they say computers are smarter.
Right.
Not in that situation. But I do worry about AI, though, because too many people now are lazy. And the chat GPT and all that type of GPT.
Landfill loves it.
But the thing of that, kids don't know how to research and write now. All they're going to do is go to an AI thing, say what they want to say. It's going to tell them. They're going to turn it in, and they're going to end up flunking out, getting being failed for plagiarizing because they're not doing it.
Well, they'll have to come up with an AI way to tell if something came from AI. If a kid's got to write a history paper or English paper.
So now we're going through the radar detector and the radar detector moment.
Right.
Where they're going to come up with something that can detect it, then we're going to come up with something that's better than that, and we're going to go over and over again. That's the start of them making more money off of you.
But who will watch the Watchmen? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And I think, I mean, you saw it, you see it, hell, saw it, like it's past tense, it's currently going on, with steroids. They make the steroids, then the testers are able to figure out how to test for steroids, then they make new stuff, then they figure out how to test. Like, it's just this constant cat and mouse. I don't know. Jeff always has a unique perspective on the world. Jeffrey, where do you stand on AI?
Hey, sometimes it make your life easier. Sometimes it make it H-E double hockey sticks. But honestly, JP, Landfill, hit the music. We all seen iRobot. I hope it don't get to that.
Yeah, I think when people build something.
I mean, forget iRobot. Think about Terminator 2. You build Skynet,
something,
baby.
You build something to think better than you and be able to think for itself. Oh, there, they will want to come after us. Because guess what? Human beings are natural predators anyway. You don't want the damn machines to start becoming predators.
Man.
We're in trouble.
Rise of the machines. Rage against the machine. I don't know what the answer is. I know somebody that might have it. I stress might. Barstool Nate, he joins us next. Don't go anywhere. It's Beamish and Finley.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.